This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammad alayhi afdalus salah wa atamu taslim amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, welcome to a brand new series. And as you can see from the title, this brand new series is something that I hope all of us can appreciate once you read the title. And the title literally is, When Allah Loves Me. And when we talk about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are so many different things that we can talk about. There are so many different angles that we can approach this beautiful subject. But what we're going to do is, I have a book in front of me here. And this particular book is the book that I've chosen, alhamdulillah, that I want to use for this series. And it's not going to be a long series. So rest assured that inshallah, perhaps maybe 10 videos or maybe even less than that. And this particular book that I'm using here, it is a book by the famous scholar Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, which is called Al-Mujibatu Limahabbatillah. And the things that require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, that qualify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for you. And at the top here is actually the explanation of 10 different reasons or things that Ibn al-Qayyim had come up with, that if you do it, if you perform it, if you're part of it, you make it a part of your life, then insha'Allah ta'ala, you will have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I'm going to go through every single one of them that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions in this particular booklet. This copy that I have is in Arabic. I'm pretty sure you can find a PDF online in English as well. So take a look at that. I'll try to look for it myself. And if I do find it, I'll share it on my page, insha'Allah ta'ala. However, for this first session, it's only wise that before we jump into the book, that we give a brief introduction to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hubb. And this particular subject is really unfortunate that when we talk about Allah azza wa jal, 80% of the time we will focus on the fear of Allah, Allah's punishment, Jahannam, and all of these things, and rarely actually talk about how Allah Azza wa Jal loves His creation and the love of Allah Himself. And this is also a message, and I have to say this even to some of our parents. Some parents out there, when you teach your children and you introduce Allah and Islam to them, the first thing that they learn is just how mean Allah can be. If you don't eat, if you don't do this, if you don't listen to mom and dad, Allah will punish you, the shaitan will come to you, Allah will be angry with you. And actually what that does is that it gives you this skewed, incomprehensive outlook and understanding of who Allah is. You will never truly understand who Allah is if you only stick to one side of the spectrum, if you only focus on the fear. And as our ulama tell us, fear is a big part of this picture, but love is the priority. It's the first thing that you should introduce yourself with when you're speaking about Allah, when you're learning about His names and His attributes. The first thing that you should learn about is the love of Allah. And part of that journey is you also learn the flip side of the coin, which of course is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, with that being said, in the Quran, there are several ayat, there are literally dozens and dozens of ahadith speaking to us and encouraging us to understand the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And subhanAllah, some of it is direct, it actually mentions the word al-hubb in it, but then other verses don't, and they're indirectly link us to the love and mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the very first ayah that you recite when you open Allah's book, alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah who is the master and sustainer and the Rabb of all of mankind. When you listen to that verse, what do you think about? Do you immediately think about the fear of Allah? Do you think about Allah's punishment? Are you terrified of this ayah? Literally, all praise is due to Allah. And Muslims, when we use Alhamdulillah, we all know where we did an entire video just on Alhamdulillah, which was in our previous series, which was video number one. I encourage all of you to take a look at that, inshallah. But we spent an entire video just talking about Alhamdulillah. and the fact that how we use Alhamdulillah to describe all of the happy, wonderful, and positive things in our lives. But with that being said, there is a beautiful verse in Surah Tawbah where Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that He says, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ. If you truly claim that you love Allah Azza wa Jal, then love Allah above your own parents, above your children, that you love Allah. And even the ayah continues and it mentions several categories. You love Allah more than you love your homes, your wealth, your amwal. So all of the luxuries of this world, the world in and of itself. And what's important here to realize that Allah Azza wa Jal, what He's telling us here is that everything in this world is secondary to the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's important for us to understand that when we're talking about this beautiful subject, what it does to us as the believer, when we love Allah, we want to worship Him more. We trust Him more. We want to turn to Him more. And even if Allah did not create us, Allah would still be worthy of that love. So that's important. We don't qualify to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love just because Allah gave us something first. Allah created us or Allah provided for us. Because even if we were not in this world, as a believer, we must believe that Allah still is worthy of love. And subhanAllah, it's one of the first things that happen in Jannah before the creation of this world, before the creation of human beings, that the angels were in constant worship of Allah. They loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would flap their wings in love and praise with Allah Azza wa Jal. And so in this short series, we want to go through some of the things that help us to sustain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in other words, if we do it, as a result, Allah will love us. And we're going to go through 10 things that are easy, that are practical. It doesn't matter what level of Islam you are at. It doesn't matter what knowledge you have or don't have. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is. You deserve to have the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the fact that you are here is enough of a reason to encourage you that you can have the love of Allah. You can do the things that you need to do so that Allah will love you. And my brothers and sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, Allah will protect us, provide for us, keep us safe, keep us healthy, and make us the best of this world and the hereafter, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So some of the things that I want to share with you so that you know that there are certain signs or ayat or indications that the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is with you. Number one, so these are the signs of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number one is that you believe in Allah. And when I say believe in Allah, I don't mean that you have iman and you have faith in Allah, because we already have that, walillah ilhamd. But with that belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is manifested. You see it in how you speak, how you conduct yourself, how you interact with people, how you do business, your level of honesty, your level of care, your level of patience, your self-control. All of these wonderful qualities is a reflection. Why? Because you love Allah Azza wa Jal and you trust in Him. He gives you certain instructions and you trust those instructions. You follow it to the best of your ability. So that's number one, is that you believe and you trust Allah Azza wa Jal in all of your affairs. And number two is that you are grateful of the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal and what He has blessed you with. Now, all of these points that I'm sharing with you right now is not for me. Actually, scholars have written and authored several volumes of books and material on the subject. And so the second sign that the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is with you is that you are grateful, you appreciate the blessings that you have. You know, one of the great scholars, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, once a man came to him and said, "Oh, Imam, please make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases me in rizq." So Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, says to the man, "Okay, fine, I will pray and make dua for you, but I want you to give me your arm." And the man looks at Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, and says, "How can I give you my arm? I need it." So Hasan al-Basri says, "Okay, fine, well, give me your leg." He's like, "What are you talking about? I need my leg." "Okay, give me your head. I need my head. And Hassan al-Basri was trying to teach this man that, look, you have so many blessings already and you're still like asking and you want and you desire more. What Hassan al-Basri was trying to teach this man is not that it's, you know, you shouldn't ask Allah for things. No. Because Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran tells us to ask from Him. Ask from His bounties. Ask from His blessings. That's not the lesson that Hassan al-Basri was teaching this man. He was trying to teach him that in order for you to get more of the rizq of Allah Azza wa Jal, it starts off with being grateful with what you already have. If you can achieve and preserve what you already have and you appreciate it with gratitude, Allah will always give you. So it's not a matter of just asking Allah and then wait for some sort of response. No. Just simply about being grateful and appreciate the blessings of Allah. And when you do this, not only does Allah give you more, but Allah loves you more. Number three is that we will never be able to truly repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that He has done for us. You know, I was talking to a sister just before the lockdown, so 3-4 months ago. She came into the office, she had a big problem. She was trying to have children and she couldn't have kids. The doctors had told her there were too many complications with her, and if she had a child, she would literally pass away, or the child will die. And the husband, and between her and her husband, there were conflicts in the marriage as a result of this issue. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what else to say. She went to the doctor, and this is the conclusion of the doctors. I'm not a doctor. All I could say to her was, look, sister, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a child. Just pray. Prayer is the thing, that the solution that we have to all the world's problems. You have cancer, pray Allah heals you. You want to have children, but you're not able to get pregnant, pray that Allah gives you children. You know, this has happened to me a few years ago, where another sister came to me and she couldn't have children. And she was begging for any way possible that she could try to have children. What can she do? What can she say? What can she recite, etc.? And subhanAllah, you know, I gave the same answer to that sister years ago as the same sister that came to me a few months ago. You got to pray for this stuff. Because at the end of the day, it's not what we do. It's not what we say. It's not as a result, okay, I do A, B, and C, and as a result, I deserve this in return. Because our Prophet ﷺ told us, no one will enter Jannah as a result of their deeds, but rather they will enter Jannah because of Allah's mercy. And so we can't repay Allah Azza wa Jal for what He's done to us. But what we can do is we pray and pray and ask Allah Azza wa Jal for more with the attitude of gratitude. Anyhow, this sister that years ago, she couldn't have children. I just told her to pray, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give it to you because He is in charge. No matter what complications you have, no matter what the doctors say, at the end of the day, we trust our doctors, but we trust Allah more. That sister has 5 kids today, subhanAllah, 5 kids. And I was just blown away. Even the doctors were shocked. And as a matter of fact, I later on learned from the same sister that the doctor that diagnosed her with all the complications, just listen to this, subhanAllah, the doctor that diagnosed her with those complications, that same doctor is trying to have children with his wife, and until this day, does not have any kids. So, you know, the doctor is saying A, B, and C, but there's no guarantee that even the doctor themselves will be able to achieve those things. You know, I've heard stories similar to this over the years. I could remember a long time ago as well, where the doctor diagnosed somebody with cancer. This happened in the Middle East. Diagnosed the patient with cancer and told the patient, start saying your goodbyes. Get your family together and, you know, you're going to leave this world. You're going to die in about 2 to 3 months. So start preparing yourself. Within those 3 months, that patient started calling his family, his wife, his children, his parents, everybody. They were flying in from all parts of the world. Everybody's crying and saying goodbye, etc., etc. Within that 3 months, guess who passed away? The doctor suffered a heart attack and passed away. And that man is still alive today, subhanAllah. That's what happens when you show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal and you trust in Him. and you love him and you pray to him. You go to the doctors, you take the medicines, you trust the advice, but deep down within, Allah is your real doctor. The real medicine is when you raise your hands and you're praying to him. And when you put your forehead to the ground and you're making sujood to him, that's the real medicine and that's where the real cure is. And in your heart, you know this. Number four is that when we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't forget the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. There is no such thing as I love Allah, but just him alone. Everything else and everybody else, it doesn't matter. It doesn't work that way. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. We've done this verse in one of our previous episodes. You say that you love Allah, then follow this man, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's how important the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam is to Allah azza wa jal. If you love Allah, then you must love this man and follow his teachings, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And finally, my brothers and sisters, as we mentioned earlier on in this short reminder, if we were not here without us, if we were not alive, we believe that Allah is still deserving of devotion, love, and worship. So with or without us, Allah Azza wa Jal still deserves to be loved. And this is really important because why? That will help us that when it's our turn to leave this world, that we know and we're confident and we're optimistic that we leave this world, that we love Allah Azza wa Jal, and that love will continue through His creation. It doesn't end with you. And so, I mean, that removes that whole selfish attitude and okay, well, I've done my part now, whatever everyone else does, I don't care about that. No, you want that love to continue. So what do? It motivates you to build and leave a legacy. You teach your children, you teach your family about Allah. And again, you're not teaching them the first thing is to fear Allah. Allah will punish you. No, start off the conversation in a positive way. Let me give you an example, at least logically, so that it makes sense. If I told you I had a friend and I mentioned his name to you and I said, yeah, this is my buddy. The first reaction from what you know about my friend is, man, that guy is so bitter. You know, I hate that guy. That guy's so angry. He has no patience. He's always this, he's always that. And that's your friend? And then I say to you, yeah, you know, he does have those qualities, but man, I can trust him. Deep down in him, he's a good guy. I can give him the keys to my house and say, look, I gotta travel, take care of my home. And I know he'll take care of my home. Yeah, he's a bit bitter, but deep down from within, he's a good person. Would you trust him as well? Would you appreciate that person as well? And so the point here is that even from a logical sense, that we want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to worship Allah azza wa jal, so we have to present those kinds of qualities even on the outside and not give the wrong impression to anybody that at the end of the day, it's our trust with Him. He's our priority. So whether something upsets somebody else or not, at the end of the day, I have to follow sami'na wa ata'na. I hear and I obey. And so just think about some of these principles, my brothers and sisters, and think about that at the end of the day, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is where we want to concentrate on the most. That's where the conversation has to begin. And so this series, I hope and I pray that inshallah ta'ala you'll appreciate it and that your love for Allah Azza wa Jal will increase. And you know what you get in return? You'll get the love of Allah Azza wa Jal in return, inshallah. And so may Allah Azza wa Jal bless us with that we have the ability to worship, trust and love our Creator, so that insha'Allah ta'ala, we receive that same love in return and even more. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless all of you and reward all of you. So once again, tomorrow insha'Allah ta'ala, we will start this booklet. Those of you who are just joining us in this short reminder, Al-Mujibatu Limahabbatillah. This is a short reminder, short collection from the famous scholar Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. In it, he writes 10 reasons that as a result, you will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 10 different things you do, Allah Azza wa Jal will love you. And so I'm going to go through all 10 of them. I might add a few more of just some of the simple things that I've done, that I've experienced, that I've learned as well, that I know will qualify us to receive the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. But I will let you know what is from me and what is from this book. Again, this book, it might be online, it might be in English as well. And inshallah ta'ala, for those of you who are joining us, if you find the translation of this booklet or the explanation in English and you find it a PDF form or what have you, just put it in the comment section so that others can benefit from it, inshallah. And you know what's amazing? You will get the ajr and reward, at least a compensation of the reward, for every single person that downloads that booklet, because you went and searched for it and you found it and you put it back online and somebody else now gets it and they start reading it and studying it and following along these lessons. You get a compensation of all of that reward that that person in, through their journey in learning. And I don't know about you, but I honestly believe that alone qualifies you that Allah loves you. So go ahead, guys. See if you can find this book, inshallah ta'ala, in English online and post it up for us, bi-ithnillah. Jazakumullahu khairan. This is a short introduction to our series. So tomorrow, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we start with perhaps maybe the first and second of the reasons that qualify us to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan, brothers and sisters. Stay safe wherever you are. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.